Well, hello. Good morning. It's been so long. I feel like I haven't been here in a long, long time. Last time I was here, it was black. It was blackout. I think that was the last time I was here. And so they sent me away because I caused a power outage. No, I'm so glad to be here, excited to be here. I'm sure most of you had heard that we welcomed baby Cohen just almost 2 weeks now. Isn't that crazy? On Tuesday, it'll be 2 weeks. I don't know, time's been flying. When you don't sleep, time just continues to go. And so I'm here, and I'm glad to be here, glad to be back. Thankful for the pastors that have been coming the last couple of weeks. We've been watching online, and I was blessed by their message. I pray that you were as well. I'm just thankful for them just being here so that I could take this time off with my family. I will say this, thank you for all of your prayers for Christine, for baby Cohen through the delivery and then after as well. And thank you for all of the meals. My kids, thank you for all of the wonderful meals. We've been enjoying that as well. Mom and baby are both doing great, and I'm doing good as well. Here's a little picture of Cohen. You can put, there he is, he's sleeping. He's just cute. You can't get anything done. You know, you just stare at his face, you know, whether he's crying or whether he's sleeping or whatever. Super cute. And we are super blessed by him and his sweet little angel face. And I just want to squeeze his cheeks. Anyway, okay, we got to move on. So real quick, before I get into this week's message, Easter's next week. Like, that's wild. Like, for me, it's like, typically it's like all the things are Easter, but it's not. Everything's been about Cohen. And so now it's like, well, this thing is happening. And so I just wanted to encourage you. I know my team has been doing a phenomenal job of encouraging guys, you know, to invite. We have the invite cards and we have yard signs and social media. So we have, you know, 1 week to invite somebody. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member. Whatever it may be, we have three amazing services next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be powerful worship. And so I would encourage you, make sure you're utilizing the tools in which to invite people to Easter next week. All right, let's dive into week four of our series, His Name Is. Have you guys been enjoying this series so far? Awesome. I got to kick it off, and then Cody came, and then Aaron came, and they did a phenomenal job. And today for week four, I want to talk with you about the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. One of my favorite names of God. Does anyone know where the phrase Jehovah Jireh originates? No? Any guesses? I know you know, Lynn. You're being kind of quiet about it. So it originates, Jehovah Jireh originates in Genesis 22. It's the story of Abraham getting ready to sacrifice his son, Isaac. It's so powerful. I want to read just a little bit of it, and then we'll get into all of it. So Genesis 22, I'm going to read verses 9 all the way through 14. It says, when they arrived at the place that God had told them about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out, took the knife to slaughter his son. It's going to be a good message. This is where we're starting out, right? Anyway, sorry. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. And he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Verse 14 is where the phrase shows up. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. And so today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. So in verse 14, the phrase Jehovah Jireh is the phrase, the Lord will provide. And so we call it Jehovah Jireh. And you can see the Hebrew, the Greek there, and then the Hebrew, sorry, Yahweh Jireh. And so we talked about Yahweh and where Yahweh originates when I first kicked this series off. And so Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And so we take it and we go, Yahweh Jireh is I am provides. And so it's a powerful statement that he will provide. He always provides. He will be the provider. I am is the one who provides. Now, how many of you, probably since you didn't know where it originates, but let's just see. How many of you know how many times Jehovah Jireh shows up in the Bible? Any guesses? 20? 22? That's 8? You ready for this? One time. This is it. But man, you probably have all heard of the name Jehovah Jireh, right? Like, because it's a powerful statement that he is the Lord who provides. Now, here's the deal. It may have only been written or verbalized one time that God being Jireh, being provider, is seen again and again and again all throughout the Bible. And so we see it in God's stories and we see it in our lives. You go back and you just go through all the stories of the Bible and you'll see God showcasing himself as Jireh, as the provider. He provided clothes for Adam and Eve. He provided the ark for Noah and all of the animals. He provided Isaac for Abraham and Sarah. He provided protection for Moses. He provided freedom for the Israelites. He provided food and water in the wilderness. He provided victory in the promised land. And you can keep reading all the way through the Old Testament, and you're gonna see time and time again what God does. He provides. He provides, he provides, he provides, he provides. And then you get to the New Testament. And you get the greatest provision that God has ever given us, and it is Jesus. And not just that it's Jesus, but it's the salvation that we are given through Jesus. He is our provider. And now, in this moment that Jehovah Jireh is verbalized in Genesis 22, this is a foreshadowing of the provision of Jesus to come. And it's no coincidence that Jesus is present. Now, if you remember our the hyperlinks series, I talked about the angel of the Lord. And when the angel of the Lord shows up, it's very distinct. And so the angel of the Lord is there. And that means Jesus is present in the moment of this provision. It's a powerful thing. Now, I want to read through the entire story. And so just be looking for specific phrases. Provide the angel of the Lord. And then there's another key phrase, offspring. So let me read through this. Genesis 22, verses 7 all the way through 18. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up, saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." And so today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." Now, there's a lot going on here. This is a very, very powerful moment where we see Jehovah Jireh show up. Of course, in verse 14, which we've already kind of looked at, we see the provision of the ram for the sacrifice in place of Isaac. So Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, and he says to his son, "Hey, look, God will provide." And then that's what happens. The angel of the Lord shows up. He provides a ram. And so there's this provision for the sacrifice for Isaac. But then, as I was talking about, this is a prophetic provision as well, because in verse 18, it says, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring." And the prophetic provision here is of the Lamb of God, being the sacrifice once and for all. All the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. The offspring coming from the lineage of Isaac leads all the way to Jesus. Then Jesus is born, and he becomes the sacrifice for the sins of the world, giving us all resurrection life. And so it's a very powerful thing. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Didn't have to, because God provided a ram. And God did sacrifice his one and only son, Jesus, in our stead. And so it's a really, really cool thing to see, though, how those pieces connect to one another in this prophetic provision of Jesus as the sacrificial lamb once and for all. Now, my favorite line spoken is by Abram in verse 8. And so, you know, they're making this journey. They're going up this mountain. They're going to be making this sacrifice. And in verse 7, Isaac says, look, the wood and the fire are here. But, you know, Dad, where's the offering? What are we offering to God as a sacrifice? And I think Isaac's kind of putting one and two together. He's like, it's him or me. And I don't know what's going to happen. And so I was like, Dad, what are we sacrificing to God? What is going to be worthy enough to sacrifice? And then Abraham says, God himself will provide. You know, it's such a powerful statement. And what this reveals is Abraham's faith in God. That God is the ultimate provider. That God is Jehovah Jireh. And that God will provide exactly what we need. If God called me to this, knowing that the things he's calling me to, I don't fully understand, I believe that God will provide for us. And here's the thing about Abraham's faith. This was more than just a provision of a sacrifice. Abraham believed that if Isaac were to die, that God could even provide resurrection. Because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the great provider. Where do we find that? Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and he was offering his unique son. The one it had been said about, your seed will be traced through Isaac. This is going all the way back, you know, Isaac to Jesus. In verse 19, it says, Abraham considered God to be able to even raise someone from the dead. So in this moment, Abraham is just showcasing this amazing faith to his son Isaac. He says, listen, the Lord will provide. He'll either provide a sacrifice in place of you, or he will provide resurrection if you die. And it's so powerful to have that kind of faith. And for Isaac, what did God do? He provided a sacrifice. But then for you and I, you know what God provides? He provides both. He provides both the sacrifice and the resurrection life. Because it is by Jesus and through Jesus' sacrifice that you and I are raised to new life in him. And so Jesus comes as the sacrifice. God provides it. Jesus is raised from the dead, bringing resurrection life to us, again, which God provides to us. And it's just a powerful thing. Like Abraham possessed this amazing faith in God's provision. And you go, man, like how did he get to this point? How did he know? How did he fully have this belief? His only son, this is his son that God promised to him, that he waited for. Him and Sarah waited for, you know, over 20 years. And now God's saying sacrifice. What led Abraham to believe that God would provide? And I believe it's because Abraham held on to God's promises. And not just God's promises, Abraham held on to God's provision of his promises. Over in Genesis 15, it says Abraham, verse 3, this is before Isaac is born, and he's, you know, God is telling him, you're going to be the father of a nation, and you're going to, you know, have your offspring, and you know, you get all these things. And Abraham goes, but look, you've given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him and said, this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said, your offspring will be that numerous. And verse 6 really just gives us, you know, an idea about Abram's faith. And it simply says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so all this time, Abraham has been following God and listening to God. And all this time, God has been providing for Abraham. And now there's this one promise that God gave him that hasn't come to fruition yet. But if you look throughout his entire life, Abraham has been provided protection. Abraham has been provided with wealth. Abraham has been provided with friends. Abraham has been provided with everything he needs. He's waiting for this one thing. And he's beginning to wonder, okay, maybe God's going to do it a different way. And God says, no, What I told you is going to happen, and you and your wife will have a son. And Abraham believed in the Lord. And so God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, promised that he would be the father of a nation, that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now, it took a long time for that promise to come to fruition, but ultimately God did provide the son, provided him with Isaac. And so what God provided, now God requested of him. And this is a powerful thing, because it was everything we have is given to us by God, is provided to us by God. And what God is doing in this moment is testing Abraham, saying, Abraham, will you continue to follow me and follow my ways and serve me and bring me glory, even if I request the one thing that maybe you love most? Are you willing to say that you love me more than you love your son that I gave you? And in this moment, Abraham does that. He says, yes, I will. I will give him back to you. And the reason he says, I'll give him back to you, because he had the faith to believe that if God was asking for it, he would provide for it as well. There would be provision, whether it be sacrifice or resurrection. And so in this moment, in this phrase, the Lord will provide, Abraham declares God's character over his circumstance. And it's a powerful thing. And I think for many of us, we need to begin to posture our hearts and our actions in the same way, where we declare God's character over our circumstance, where we declare God's promises over our circumstance, where we declare God's provision, past provision and future provision. Because we look back and see, okay, look at all that God has done. And because of everything that God has done, I'm going to declare God's provision, God's promises, God's character over what's happening in my current circumstances and in the future. And that's what Abraham does in this moment with him and Isaac. And it's a powerful moment. But I think as powerful as this is, and as powerful as Abraham's faith is, man, I look at Isaac's response and I go, that's even just as powerful as what Abraham did. Because, you know, Isaac's questioning. He's realizing what's taking place. He's getting the lay of the land. I am the sacrifice. This is what's going to happen. Dad, what's going on here? What's going to happen? And what are we going to sacrifice? And he says, the Lord will provide. And then it's like, period. There's no argument from Isaac. There's no, and Isaac tried to run away kind of deal, you know? You know what it says? And they walked on together. And they walked on in faith together. And they walked on believing together that God is a provider and that God will provide. Abraham, in this moment, is showcasing faith to his son Isaac. And because of Abraham's faith in God, Isaac has faith in his father. And that then translates to faith in God the Father. And this is so important for us, especially as parents, but even as friends, even in our marriage, that we showcase our faith to others, our faith in the Father, so that they will say, you know what, the faith that you have showcased, the faith that you have lived, the faith that you have experienced, I'm believing what you believe and that God will provide in this moment. And that's what Isaac does with Abraham. He believes God to be Jehovah Jireh. He believes that God will provide. And it's something that Abraham is trying to show his son in this moment. And I don't think this is a one-time thing. Because if this is the only time that Abraham showcased faith in God, I'm thinking Isaac goes the other way. But all throughout his life, guess what Abraham has done for Isaac? Shown him the faith that he has in God the Father. And shared with him the story of God's provision time and time again. I'm sure he talked about how God promised a son and how they waited 25 years and how in their their old age in upper 90s, right, that Sarah began to get pregnant and they had a son and they conceived. And that provision alone, Isaac, you are such a miracle. You are such a provision. God has provided, but not just that. He's provided in so many other ways. And so all throughout Isaac's life, Abraham has shared the story of God's provision time and time again. And they get to this moment where Isaac and Abraham are going up to the mountain and they need God to provide again. And Abraham says to Isaac, don't worry, the Lord will provide. And so Isaac has heard all these stories from Abraham about how God has provided. And in this moment, he gets to be a part of the story. He gets to see God provide in such a powerful way. Now, at the core of this moment with Isaac, and also I think within the story of Abraham and Sarah, is patience. Patience in God's provision. And I think that's so key for many of us. Oftentimes we lose patience. And when we begin to lose patience in God's provision, our faith begins to wane. And we begin to try to take matters into our own hands. Abraham and Sarah did it. They did it with Ishmael. And when we don't have patience in God's provision, man, it leads to things that aren't meant for us to happen in our lives. But throughout this time of waiting, being patient in the provision, right? I believe that Abraham and Sarah had their patience developed, right? God promised for the provision of the son, Isaac. For the most part, Abraham and Sarah waited, right? They made some mistakes, as we all do, but they waited, and they got the provision of God. And as they had the patience for the provision and believed in God's promises, that began to strengthen their faith. And their faith that was strengthened in them, they began to then, you know, give to their son Isaac and show to their son Isaac. And so there's this patience that takes place that we need to have in our lives. Patience for the provision produces faith in God. It's for us and also for others watching. And it could be for our spouse, it could be for our kids, it could be for a family member, it could be for a coworker. We showcase patience for the provision, believing what Abraham believed, that though this circumstance is tough, though this circumstance is difficult, though what I'm going through I don't understand or agree with, I believe that God will provide because he's provided before, because he is Jehovah Jireh. And you know, this phrase may only be spoken or verbalized one time, but that's enough. If it's mentioned one time, that is enough. And that is who God is, and that is God's character, and that is why we must declare God's character over our circumstance. In troubled times, in difficult circumstances, in seasons of waiting, the most powerful thing we need to continue to have is patience for the provision, even to the very last moment. And this is something else that we see take place in this story. You know, Abraham and them, there's this journey that they're taking. And we read it, you know, sentence after sentence, and it looks like it happens pretty quickly. But you got to know, like, this took some time. They had to travel to a mountain. They had to travel up a mountain. They had to prepare the altar. And all this time, what are they doing? They're waiting. Okay, do you see, has God provided the sacrifice yet? Where, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, as a father, I'm going, okay, let's take our time. Let's not rush to get there. Let's not rush to get up the mountain. Let's take our time and be very meticulous about how we're setting up the burnt offering. Let's really give God time to show up and provide. And you're just looking around going, there's literally nothing out here, right? I don't know what's gonna happen. And so they keep working, they keep going. Abraham has the faith and he says, all right, Isaac, I guess get up on the pillar. Get up on I'm gonna strap you down so that way, you know, you don't try to move when I go to stab you. You know, just imagine the conversation that's taking place. It's probably just so crazy. But there's faith. And again, they walked on together. They did this together. And it's such a powerful thing. They had faith enough in God to believe that he would provide even to the last moment. And that's what God does. You know, for you and I, this is a reminder. Just when you think that the provision will never come, wait. Wait for the Lord to provide. Wait for Jehovah Jireh. Maybe you've waited 10 months or 10 years, whatever amount of time, wait on the Lord and see what he does. See how he provides. See the ways in which he provides. Because we don't know. We know that God will provide, and we get in our mind what God's gonna provide and how that's gonna look like and when that's gonna happen, but God's ways are better. God's time is better, and so we've gotta wait on the Lord. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the promise of their son Isaac to come to fruition. In this moment, Abraham and Isaac waited, and God showed up. Jesus showed up. The sacrificial lamb The ram was provided at the last moment as a sacrifice in place of Isaac. And within Isaac's lineage, Jesus would then become the perfect sacrifice for sins for everyone. And I believe that's the power, really, of the phrase Jehovah Jireh. It's the power that God will provide, that God has provided. The greatest thing for any single one of us is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if anything, we can rest on that fact. If your faith begins to falter, if your patience begins to wane, go back to the fact that God provided salvation for you, that God loved you, that he didn't say you had to be the sacrifice, but he sent Jesus to be the sacrifice. And then in Jesus being the sacrifice, Jesus defeated death, defeated sin, and he rose again. And with him, you are given resurrection life. And that's provided to you and me, freely given. We didn't do anything to earn it. And God provided it. And that's why he is Jehovah Jireh, because he provides salvation to all who will call on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. You know, Abraham experienced God's provision and he showcased it to his son. Isaac had faith in his father due to Abraham's faith in God the Father. How have you been showcasing your faith in God's provisions to your loved ones? I mean, as we get ready to close out, here's what I want you to do. Just think about one way in which God has shown up in your life and provided for you. Get in your mind, one way, one thing, because I know he's done so many. And maybe it could be a powerful thing, maybe it's not a powerful thing. Maybe it was like he provided the location of your keys for your car to get to church this morning, right? But maybe, as you think about that way, one way that God provided for you, where you just turn to someone and say, this is how, right now, take a moment and share with how God has provided for you. One thing, go. Find someone around you, find someone behind you. Maybe even go and share with someone you don't know, because there might be someone sitting next to you that you know that knows the provision. Go share the provision with somebody else. You wanna know how we help people experience faith and grow their faith? We share our patience in the provisions of God. Share your provision. Share what God has done. Tell someone how God has provided for you, what he's provided for you. Maybe it's in a child situation. Maybe it's in a financial situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Whatever it may be, I mean, you could probably look back and go, you know what? God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He provides in big ways. He provides in small ways. I want to share a picture with you. I'm sorry, you guys are early. You're going to be standing here for just a little bit. So it's good? You're good? Okay, cool. Sorry. The other day I came across this picture. And it wrecked me. Because the story of God's provision in this one picture is so powerful. That's my 8-year-old daughter, Providence. Most of you probably know her. She's pretty outgoing and crazy, so. My 8-year-old daughter holding my newborn son, Cohen. Some of you may know Providence's story, but her name ties into God's name, Jehovah Jireh. Now, Cohen, you've probably heard this. Cohen's a 17-year miracle. It's a provision that we've prayed for and hoped for 17 years. 17 years, we sought to be pregnant again. My oldest daughter, Delaney, was our only biological child. I get to say that now. I have two biological. Was our only biological child. And we desired, Christine desired to be pregnant again. And through that years, 17 years, we've been patient. And we just followed God and we followed his provision. And he's provided things and provided children in ways we never even thought or would imagine, right? And we had hoped that one day Christine would get pregnant again. And so before Providence was born, me and Christine prayed about it, and she wanted to get pregnant again. And if you don't know this, we haven't stopped trying to get pregnant, and so she doesn't get pregnant easily. And so she had to go on some medicine and do some things. In the week that she was to go on this medicine, we got a call from a friend saying a friend came into town and they're having a baby. Do you know anyone who's looking to adopt a baby? Providence. We met with the birth mother the next day. We talked about our story, their story. And in that moment, God gave me that girl's name, Providence. Because God had provided, but not in the way that I thought. It was even more beautiful. So we tried to get pregnant, and God provided. Years go by, and our family grows a lot. And about last year, Christine had the desire again. She said, I want to be pregnant. And we went through all the things. We did all the things. We tried all the things. I think it was around 3 months, and it was just nothing. And we did all the tests, and nothing happened. And so we came to a place, we came to a peace that said, it's okay. We have enough kids anyway. It's okay. You know, it's okay. We have a beautiful family, and God has provided. And at that time, we kind of had taken a break from fostering and adoption. And lo and behold, shortly after we said, we're not going to try anymore to get pregnant, two beautiful children came to our lives by the name of Adeline and Gideon as a foster placement. Less than a year later, we adopt them. So we're trying to get pregnant. God provides two beautiful children. We adopt them into our family. And then not even a week later, Christine finds out that she's pregnant. Now you tell me about a God who is a provider and provides in ways in which we can never even imagine. Do you know, me and Christine go, if we would have been pregnant before Gideon and Adeline, we probably would have never even have taken them into our home. But God had a plan for them. And we are so glad. We didn't see it. We didn't know. And in all of this, you know what God has done? My faith has been strengthened time and time again because I've been patient for the provision of God's promises. And he's shown up. 17 years, I waited. 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waited. I don't know how long you've been waiting. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep believing in the promises of God, in the provision of God. He's doing something. And he's developing in you patience now. And he's wanting you to showcase your faith in the waiting, as well as showcasing your faith in the provision. He can do it. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And just as we close out our time, here's what I know. I think there are many things that we are waiting for. Maybe you've been waiting for a spouse for a long time and you're not sure what's taking so long. And you question who you are, you question your character, you question all the whys, and you question God. God's doing something in the waiting. And there may be provision, and he may provide you with a spouse, or maybe he'll provide you with something even greater. I don't know. Maybe like me, you've waited. Like Abraham and Sarah, you've waited for a child. He has provision for you. It just may not be what you thought it was going to be. But when God provides, it will be better than you thought it was going to be. Maybe you've been waiting for provision of financial stability or a job. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Stay patient. Keep growing. Keep pursuing. Keep seeing how God is working and moving in the waiting. And the provision will come. You just gotta wait. It's His timing. His perfect timing. His timing is always perfect. His provision is always perfect. We gotta be patient. Patient for that provision. God, we thank You for the stories that we get to read about in Your word. How time and time again You showed up and You showed off and You brought provision. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, through Jesus, You provided that for us. God, we thank You for the ways in which You provided for us in the past. God, You've done mighty things. You've done miraculous things. God, You have worked and You have moved in our lives. And God, today, I just pray that Your word would be a reminder of Your provision and of Your promises. That for the one who is losing hope, whose patience and faith is waning, that they would be reinvigorated and say, God has always been there. God has always shown up. God, I'm seeing You working and moving now in my life, and I'm being patient for the provision of the promise that You have for me. Thank You for being our provider. Thank You for showing up in miraculous ways, in beautiful ways. Thank You for just showcasing Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, Your glory in our lives. May we be a people that see that, that live that, and help our kids see that, that we share that with them, that they can have the faith that we have in You. That they would walk together with us in faith. That they would walk together with us toward Your provision all the days of our lives. It's in Your Son's name that I pray. Amen.